Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended September 30th, 2024. The bank is represented by the Managing Director and CEO, Ms. A. Manimekhalai, Executive Director, Shri Nitesh Ranjan, Shri Ram Subramaniam S., Shri Sanjay Rudra, Shri Pankaj Dwivedi, and other members of the top management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Bansal, Deputy General Manager. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, madam. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I, Ajay Bansal, Head of Investor Relations, welcome you all for Union Bank of India earnings conference call for the period ended September 30th, 2024. The structure of conference call shall include a brief opening statement by the respected MD and CEO, madam, and then the floor will be open for interaction. Before getting into the conference call, I will read out the usual disclaimer statement. I would like to submit that the certain statements that may be discussed during the investor interaction may be forward-looking statements based on the current expectation. These statements involve a number of risks, uncertainty, and other factors that cause the actual result to differ from the statement. Investors are therefore requested to check this information independently before making any investment or other decision. With this, I now request our respected MD and CEO, ma'am, for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Union Bank's financial results announcement for the second quarter ended September 30, 2024. Thank you for joining us today. I trust you have had the opportunity to review our results. I will provide you a brief overview of our performance and key highlights for this quarter. Before diving into our financials, let's touch upon the operating environment. The banking industry has seen credit growth outpace deposit growth, creating a competitive scenario for liabilities. However, the gap between credit and deposit growth is narrowing as per the latest RBI data. Now, let's take a look at our financial highlights for the quarter ended September 2024. We have achieved our highest-ever operating profit and net profit for a quarter. Our operating profit reached 8,113 crores, reflecting a 12.4% growth. Net profit stood at 4,720 crores, showing a 34.4% year-on-year growth. ROA has improved to 1.35%, and ROE has reached 19.10% for Q2 FY25. Our capital adequacy ratio improved to 17.13%, with the CET1 ratio increasing to 13.88% as of September 2024. Gross NPA has reduced by 202 basis points, while net NPA has reduced by 32 basis points. The PCR has improved by 76 basis points to 92.79%. Our cost-to-income ratio improved to 43.56% for Q2 FY25, down from 44.08%. That was what was in the last quarter. Our Q2 performance is broadly in line with our FY25 guidance. Deposits grew by 9.2% year-on-year and advances by 9.6%. While deposit growth is within our target range of 9%-11%, advances growth has been slightly muted than what the target that we had given. In the advances segment, we saw 12.3% growth in RAM lending, while corporate lending grew at moderate 6.3%. Our NIM stood at 2.97% for H1 FY25 and 2.90% for half-year ended in FY25, aligning with our guidance of 2.8%-3%. The decline in NIM is primarily due to adjustments in penal charges as per RBI guidelines, and a drop in our dummy ledger recovery. Asset quality continues to improve with gross NPA reducing to 4.36%, aligning closely with our target of below 4% by March 2025. For Q2 FY25, gross recovery was 3,932 crores, which is lower than slippages of 5,219 crores, mainly to a large ticket slippage from a single major account. In H1 FY25, we achieved a gross recovery of 7,300 crores, in line with our annual target of 16,000 crores. Total slippages stood at 7,537 crores, as against our guidance of 11,500 crores. We have consistently met and often exceeded our target, and we are confident in our ability to achieve the same for FY25. We remain committed to the sustainable growth, ensuring a balanced focus on both top line and bottom line performance. We prioritize profitability and efficiency over chasing growth at any cost. Our CASA and retail term deposits account for 72% of our total deposits, a ratio we have maintained consistently. In our advances portfolio, we have targeted retail to corporate ratio of 55-45, and as of September 2024, we are at 57-43. Let me share some of the significant developments during the quarter. We achieved the second position in the E7 ranking for the first quarter. We ranked first under the theme Banking Towards Viksit Bharat and second in Customer Service Excellence, Effective Risk Management and Developing Employees for Emerging Banking Priorities. We have opened 122 branches this financial year up to September, including 12 focused branches in RUSU centers. We launched the Union Leap, a CASA transformation and business build project, deploying 1,250 relationship managers to drive new business acquisition and engage existing customers. Up to September 30, 2024, we added over 3.48 million CASA accounts, and our UM mobile registrations reached 39.1 million. Additionally, we onboarded 1,23,000 clients through our digital savings account. We introduced several new digital journeys, such as the PM Vishwakarma STP, KCC renewable up to Rs. 10 lakh, GST gain STP for fresh sanctions up to 1 crore, and Union Nari Shakti STP for new-to-bank customers. Bank introduced the UPI interoperable cash deposits into the CRM, UPI Lite auto top-up, UPI Circle functionality, and the ability to deposit into PPF and SSA accounts. We inaugurated two rural self-employed training institutes in Mauganj, Madhya Pradesh, and Palanadu, Andhra Pradesh, both fully managed by women staff to support women entrepreneurs. All rating agencies upgraded the bank over the past year. In FY25, S&P Global revised our outlook to positive with a BBB- positive rating, while IN rating and BRIC were upgraded at one notch to AAA with a stable outlook. We've also been added in the Nifty Next 50 index. To conclude, Union Bank has consistently demonstrated strong, stable and sustainable performance. Our key initiatives, including enhanced underwriting capabilities, centralization, verticalization, HR transformation and a robust assurance framework, are yielding positive results. We have significantly strengthened our digital capabilities through the YOM app, digital onboarding, straight-through processing journeys, fintech partnerships, analytics and data lakes. We are committed to building on these initiatives to enhance our performance and customer experience further. With that, we are now open to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Maruk from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Ma'am, the slippage, so I have two related questions. Firstly, that the slippage we are seeing in LC and others of 34 billion should be from a single account that is in the news and that was discussed even last quarter, correct? Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. It is only from a single account.
Okay. Now, the thing is that last quarter you had disclosed that, you know, a couple of accounts had came to the SME list, right? And that is why there was a sharp increase in SME. So, if something has slipped from SME to slippage, I'm guessing that this account was identified as SME, then why has the SME figure gone up quarter on quarter by 7 billion? It should come out by the come down by the amount of slippage, correct? That's the other question.
Madam, that is, see, this is only a couple of accounts which was there. There was a in the quarter two, there was a 1 or 2 days delay which has come and it has been recovered. So it was on 30th September, it was the position actually.
Okay, but on 30th, the account that appears to have slipped in the corporate slippage was SMA last quarter, correct?
No, see, actually in the last, if you are looking at quarter one, we made a provision for two accounts.
Correct.
Of the others, one has slipped in the current quarter.
Correct.
Another one is continuing in SMA. So it was not there as a SMA on 36-2024.
Another
account, it was not a SMA as on 36, though it has defaulted in some other bank.
Okay. So, you made provisions on two, of which one was not SMA in the first quarter.
Yes.
But now the increase in SMA is driven by only that account or by a couple of accounts?
No, another account also. That is only because 1 or 2 days delay, it has come back. Yeah.
Okay. And so which sectors would that belong? It's corporate, government. What kind of sectors would the SME that got upgraded subsequently belong to?
These are state government, ma'am. And this has come back to normalcy in this quarter.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from HCON Global Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Good noon, ma'am. And
good afternoon, Ajmera ji.
Good afternoon. Just started. Okay. Ma'am, compliments to you, especially as regards the profitability of the bank is concerned. You are very, very conscious about it, and quarter after quarter, you are declaring a very good profit. So my compliments to the entire team and you for the same. I think our profit after tax has come up to almost 4,700 crore. I think one of the highest quarterly profit. Having said that, ma'am, I have got some questions, your comments, and maybe my concern on especially the business growth. So while you say that year on year, I mean, if you take the whole year, then it's okay, 9%, 7%, that's okay. But if you look at the current half year of FY25, our deposit has grown only by 1.67%, and our credit has grown only by 2.5%. So especially on the credit side, if you look at it, if you take the your target of 13%, which means about 1,17,000 crores in this financial year should be, whereas the total credit expansion is only 23,947 crores. It means in the remaining 6 months, starting from October to March now, you will have to have the credit increase by about 93,000 crores. Similar story on deposit side also. So how confident and sure you are that in almost remaining 5 months now, 1 month, of course, you must have done some business. 93,000 crore is not a small amount. So how do you see the visibility from the sanction pipeline, from the new proposals which are coming in, which are in the second sanctioning stage, and the proposals which were sanctioned are already in the disbursement stage. So can you give some little more detailed breakup on this, that how are we going to achieve this 93,000 crore credit? This is a very, very important point to take the bank forward.
Admiralji, I will answer your question. First, I will look at the low growth in the advances. The corporate loan, especially on T-bill linked loans, we were not very aggressive. We let go some of the advances which were yielding us, slightly lesser rate of interest. We will build this book when we had a surplus liquidity in the system. So we have brought down our TBLR book to a considerable extent. Our NBFC book has also been reduced from whatever it was in December to, December 23 to now. We have brought it down considerably. That's the area where we have, why we have declined on our corporate book. Now, if you are asking us with regard to what is our pipeline pending for disbursement and sanctions, if you remember, we had set a guidance of limit to 13% credit growth for FY25. We have almost about 75,000 crore pending for disbursement and sanctions, out of which 36,000 crores is pending for disbursement and 39 crore of sanctions is pending for sanctions actually. Now we have on the corporate side, we have good sanctions under road, power, real estate, telecom, iron and steel, cement, all these areas we are seeing, we have got good sanctions. We are also focusing on sunrise sectors like the renewable energy, EV, semiconductors, data centers, tourism. These are the areas that we are looking at. So we hope that, we also are hoping that there would be a capex, coming back in this quarter, and so that we can revive whatever sanctions we have got on hand and see that they are dispersed. That is with our credit growth. With regard to advance deposits growth, of course, we had given a guidance of 9 to 11%, and we have stuck to that guidance. We have, done about 9.26% growth in our deposit front. However, CASA has, declined a little, but if you look at the numbers that we have added absolute numbers to the close to about 8,000 crores in our CASA book, and retail term deposit has also seen a healthy growth. We have taken a lot of measures to see that our CASA increases. Like we have opened, as I said in the very beginning, 122 branches, out of which 12 branches are in the RUSU centers. The premium branches have been opened. We have strengthened our BC model. We have got more than 21,000 BC models. We have launched special deposit schemes so that we can garner more deposits. We have also, separately introduced something called Excellence Cell in the bank, which is dedicated to give, top-notch service to our customers. So we are looking at lot many things like this. We are also having a micro-market strategy. We are focusing on growth hotspots in the country. We have identified about 51 growth hotspots in the country where we will be seeing this growth. So overall, I can say that the bank is, our focus is very clear. We would like to increase our deposits. We would like to increase our customer base. In the very beginning, I have told you that we added close to about 34.80 lakh CASA accounts, out of which, about 15 lakh customers are from the rural and semi-urban areas. So these many strategies that we have got, I'm sure that we will be able to increase my advances portfolio and my deposit portfolio also. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am, for such an elaborate answer. And I'm sure with you being there all the time, you have been performing better than the targets. And this year also, you may do some magic to reach that figure of the credit and deposit both. Having said that, ma'am, while we are comfortable on the, I think, recovery front, target of 16,000, we already achieved 7,300. So we are more or less there. But on the slippage front, out of 11,500 crore of target for FY25, we have already, I think, slipped about 7,537 crore. And we have a very strong SME pipeline in the sense that a lot of these accounts, SME2 is also 1,664 crore. So going forward, on the slippages front, are we comfortable? I mean, our slippages in the coming 6 months now, the remaining 6 months will not be more than 4,500 or 4,000 crore. So as to meet the target of, I mean, to be limited to the target of 11,500 crore. And coupled with that, one more question, ma'am, because I may not be allowed to ask in this round the question. If you look at the note number 20, in the last June quarter, we said that we have made the additional provision on prudential basis on advances of 1,239 crore, which has come down in this quarter to 553.93 crore. So in fact, we have written back additional prudential provision of 685 crore in this quarter. So had that not been there, our NPA provisions would have gone up. So it means it would have been 3,200 crore. So this, what is this mystery? I mean, why have we reduced this provision, which was already made in June 2024 of 1,239, now reduced to 553 crore?
So I will answer your question with regard to slippage first. Though we had given a guidance of 11,500 crores, we are, you know, already crossed. That's what we crossed about 7,300 crores in this quarter itself, in the second quarter itself. But you know, if you see the only one large slippage, that's the reason that the slippages are quite high in this quarter. If you look at the actual slippages that happened in this quarter, it is just about 1,604 crores. So slippages are under control. If not for that one big slippage, we would have contained our slippage to a very great extent. And with regard to what is talking about, you know, the second part of the question is also answered. Because of this reason, only the slippage, the provision that we made in the first quarter, 1,200 crores, because that slipped into an NPA, that's the reason that it is showing that numbers.
Oh, yeah. All right, ma'am, if time permits, I will come again. I got some more small 2-3 questions and observations.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, ma'am, and thanks for the additional disclosures. ma'am, just wanted to check on, on the accounts that slipped, how much have you provided and what is your sense on the eventual haircut or the timeline of the resolution that because that account is supposed to be sovereign. So if you can share your thoughts there.
Jay, we have provided close to the extent of 20% as per the norms. And with regard to recovery part of it, you know, lot many things are happening at the background, at the government level, at the banks level. Many things are in process and we hope that recovery comes very soon.
Right, but then what eventual haircut, man? Should it be less than 20 or it could be even more than 20?
No, we are not talking about any haircuts as of now, Jay, on this account.
Okay, sure. Second, man, the account that is still the second account, right, which was talked about last quarter, is the account still in SMA0, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and then so how is it possible in the sense that last quarter it was also relatively stressed and 90 days have passed and still in dispensation yet?
Yeah, Jay, if you're looking at it last quarter, it started showing stress in the other banks. Though it was not a SMA there, it was started showing sickness in the other banks. So we, as a prudential measure, we have done our standard provisioning, we have done it. Still the unit is running, cash flows are there, they are able to pay, but with some delay, some processing plans are being worked out.
Okay. So there is no dispensation here, it's just that as of now, the account is still in SMA zero.
Yeah, there is no dispensation. Nothing.
And we have around 550 crores standard asset provisioning again.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. That's right.
Sure. And secondly, sir, this we understand that margins are okay, but you know, accounting-wise, there is a change, and hence the penal interest has 11 basis point impact. So thanks for that disclosure. But if I remember correctly, this new circular was effective from April 1st, right? So, how should, I mean, why is the impact in this quarter, and how should one look at in the next quarter?
No, no. So, Jay, yeah, you're right, it was April 1st, but the higher impact came in this quarter. There was not much of an impact in the April to June quarter, but in the July to September quarter, the impact was higher. So it was about 11 basis points in the September quarter, and for the 6 months, the impact is 6 basis points.
Right. So even in third quarter, if hypothetically a person is charged penal interest, then this may impact third quarter also, right? I mean, this is not done.
Yes, yes, yes. But it will continue.
Okay. Not other income.
Yeah, but, you know, Jay, it's really only a movement from net interest income to non-interest income. So, I mean, there's no change in the operating profit, it's just a movement between lines, like, as you're aware.
Right. Right. No, that is. Thanks. Thanks for the clarification. Last thing, sir, and the cost of deposit has increased, right? QOQ, at least that looks slightly steep. We have been very calibrated in the deposit growth. CASA is also reasonably okay. What explains the rise in cost of deposit? Thank you.
Yeah, Jay, the cost of deposits YOY is almost increased by 35 basis points. Now, the bank had, you know, the slow rate of growth in CASA, that's another reason. That's the reason for this increase in cost of deposits. Plus, the bank had also introduced a few specifically designed product for, you know, garnering retail term deposits. This was the high cost deposits that we had taken up. It's not because that we had taken, you know, bulk deposits, but it was only for the growth of retail deposits that we had taken. So that is the reason for the increase in the cost of deposits.
Understood, ma'am. That is very, very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Aggarwal from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Ma'am, I have two questions.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
Hello, is it better now?
Yes, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have two questions. One is, ma'am, if you can talk about is how much is the interest reversal this quarter? Because with this large, like, corporate slippage, has the margin been further impacted due to that? Or is this the, like, the base that we need to work forward with in the next quarter?
The interest reversal from this large account is about 45 crores.
Okay, so not much. Okay.
Yeah, not much. Yeah.
Right, ma'am. And secondly, is there any lumpy recovery that we are looking at? Because we have maintained our recovery guidance for the year, while first half is tracking well, but we carry 100% provisions on the NCLT book, even the SR book is fully provided. So any recoveries that we are expecting in the next two quarters?
We have a very healthy, you know, book of about 81,000 crores, and we hopefully want to get some good recovery from these accounts. So not many things are happening at this front to recover from the TWO, you know, technically written-off accounts. And we also have, the bank has, you know, put a lot of efforts in, you know, one-time settlement, actually, and SARFAESI. We have done very well under SARFAESI. We have done under OTS. We have bought out a scheme for 1 crore and below accounts, and we have, in this half year, settled close to 250,000 accounts. And that is one area where we have seen good recovery. SARFAESI also, I think among the public sector banks, we are one of the highest number of SARFAESI auctions we have done. That is another place we have seen. But with regard to bigger recoveries, chunky recovery, we hope that, you know, there are some recoveries from NARCL and NCLT.
Right. And the last question is on the net profit that you have reported, which is a very sharp jump, like almost 28% sequential increase. So, this is a ROA of 1.3 plus. And so how should we look at it? Why did we not use this extra profit this quarter to make provisions, given that SMA number is still unchanged despite this slippage? So what is the thought process behind this high profits?
Yeah, so Nitin, we did the standard asset provisioning in the last quarter. At this stage, we did not, see a need for an incremental provisioning. Our provision coverage ratio anyway stands at about 92.5%. So we thought that we won't make any additional provisioning for this quarter. If there is a requirement, we will look at provisionings in subsequent quarters. But we did not see a need to make additional provisions this quarter.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Rakesh, I would request you to unmute your line and speak, please. Due to no response from the current participant, we will move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Clinton Fernandez from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead. Sir, I would request you to please use your handset.
Is it better now?
Yes, sir.
My question is actually on credit cost. So
we have lost the connection of the current participant. We will move on to the next participant. The next follow-up question is from the line of Ashok Ajmera from HCON Global Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving this opportunity again. Ma'am, if you look at the note number 15, it says that in this quarter, one SR, new SR has been added. I would just like to know the amount in the account of, for this SR and how much. What was the outstanding and how much amount for which the SR has been issued? Because 15% must have been the cash, if it is NITRL, or what is the status of this SR?
Ajmeraji, I will connect with you offline on this one.
Pardon?
I will connect with you offline on this one, on this query of yours.
No, the details are not presently with us. We will connect to you offline.
All right, ma'am, there is no issue. Yeah, so my question was also on one of the, my colleague which asked and he went out of the line, is increase in the credit cost. So to 1.09% from 0.73% in last quarter. So what is the overall target of the credit cost for the whole FY25, ma'am, on this?
No, credit cost, you would like to keep it at 1 or below 1 any time. And that is how it was, behaving for all these quarters. But for that one slippage that happened in this quarter, that's the reason that, the credit cost has shot up. Otherwise, it was always under control and below 1%.
Okay, ma'am, as usual, one question is on the treasury front. Now, with, all kind of different views coming and the Honorable RBI Governor's tone also looking at the increase in the inflation rate and, earlier the expectation of rate coming down and now recently again reading a statement, even after taking a pause, again to be very, very little more hawkish. So what are our views on going forward on the treasury and the performance of the treasury looking at the rate scenario? In the country by our Reserve Bank of India, not comparing with the US Fed. So what are our views going forward on the profits income from the treasury and also revaluation of the assets and others?
Admiralji, thank you very much for the question. As we projected during the first quarter of the financial year, that lot of things will come into action like indexation, bond indexation and borrowing cut and all those things, and subsequently a rate cut by Federal Reserve in September, 50 basis points instead of 25 basis points. Subsequently, European Central Bank and Bank of India also cut the rate by 50 basis points and 25 basis points. And RBI stands on the outlook from neutral to accommodation. These all given a clear indication about the outlook very good in the futuristic view of the market. Subsequently, during the recent conversation, there is a clear-cut indication that inflation is very high and RBI may not be in a position to cut the rate in the near future unless the probability of very visible. But there are some political situations in Federal Reserve in US also, that election is matter. All those things given a mixed reaction into the market. But however, the global condition as well as Indian market conditions are very favorable in the coming days, because after the usually the market moves after the Diwali, the new year, the market react in a positive manner because of the ample liquidity availability and stability of the rupee, because in spite of 40 to 50,000 crores of outflow in the FIS on account of the redemption of the equity, still rupee is at a level of 84 level. That gives a clear indication in the market as well as to the market participation that there will be stability in the liquidity as well as interest rate outlook. We are hopeful that we have positioned ourselves in the coming days to take the advantage of the market. Whatever the things have happened based on the projection, we have booked the profit. In the next two quarters also, we take a defensive and positive view of all those factors and give a decent 20 to 25% growth in the treasury income.
Oh, that's good. Bhaktav, always very positive, and your actions are definitely is getting good profits to the bank. So thank you very much for this elaborate commentary on that. Thank you, ma'am, for this second opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Madhuk from Novama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. I just wanted to check that last quarter the penal interest was applicable only on incremental loans, and this quarter it's on outstanding loans. Is that is that understanding correct? So then
yeah, that's right. That's correct.
Okay, so then next quarter incrementally the impact should be lower. It will continue, but it should be a lower impact, right? Just on NII. I know it comes back as non-interest, but just asking.
Yeah, it should. Yeah. We will of course, have a deeper look at that. But yeah, it could be lesser. But the impact will still be there, and it probably be higher than Q1.
Right. Got it. And then if you just see the other interest, right? Other interest, as in that, interest from interbank funds and maybe RBI, it's gone up by 1 billion. So that's just because of liquidity or what?
This is on account of the available liquidity surplus that has been deployed to get a decent return, madam.
Okay, so the FX swap income will be how much from that?
So that will be around 700 to 750 crores, madam.
That is the same like last quarter?
Yeah, it will be there.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, can you give a breakup of our MCLR link and external benchmark link loan?
MCLR is about 47%. That's the breakup, and the remaining 49% is EBLR. 43% is EBLR, out of that repo is 29 and 17 is EBLR. This is base rates and other rates.
Okay. Now my second question is regarding your outlook on the NIM. So where do you see our NIMs over next 3-4 quarters? Because even without the interest rate cut by the RBI, we are seeing the pressure on the NIM. So if not in December, let's say in January, February, we will see a rate cut. So how do you see your NIM over the next two, three quarters?
Yeah, we had given a guidance at the beginning of the year that the NIM would be in the range of 2.8%-3%. And currently our NIM is about 2.97, and with a good MCLR book that we have, we will be able to keep our NIM at that range only, 2.8%-3%.
Okay. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashlesh Sonje from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
I think congratulations.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. I would request you to please use your handset.
I hope this is better. A couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on this PSU exposure default, it seems that the government is now fine with PSU entities defaulting on bank loans. How does it change your view on lending to PSU entities going ahead?
See, we have to understand that the default can happen from any, whether it is a private or PSU. It is under some of the critical areas, because of that it is happening. We also, there is no special dispensation is being given by the bank in appraising or underwriting the PSU loans also. So we follow the same structures only, and we are doing it. So I don't find any difference in underwriting, or there is any separately we are doing in the underwriting standards for the PSU. So this is a normal business risk which the banks are undertaking, and the pricing also depending on that only.
Understood. Sir, and just to clarify, in the past, have you experienced a loss on any of your PSU exposures in the history?
No, I'm not able to get the question.
In the past, any such instance?
No?
Any such instance in the past?
No, I think some long time back, there were one or two there actually. Yeah.
Okay, understood. And second question on the cost of deposits. What proportion of your term deposits are yet to be repriced fully to the fresh TD rates?
No, any all the except for your core deposits of CASA, the retail term deposits will be repriced every as and when the date of contract comes in. It has to be repriced.
Okay, but any sense?
But one thing is, most of our deposits, 70% of my deposits are in the 1 year range. So after a year, it will come out for repricing.
Okay, understood. And last one is your clarification. Under your fee-based income, there is an item called others, which has increased 50% QOQ to rupees 1,167 crores. Is it fair to assume that this is the penal charges related income?
Yeah. Penal charges are part of that others. You're right.
Okay, understood. Those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one clarification. So the account which got slipped is PSU, but the other account which is in the SMA, that's also PSU, or that is some private account?
Yeah, that is also PSU only.
And both are state government or central government, central PSU?
No, PSU is a central government, no?
Okay, so the one which is slipped is central government, and the other one is a state government.
No. State, that is a different context. Other than these two, there was one or two accounts which the state government, what we are given, it was for 1 or 2 days, it came as a SMA on September, which was cleared subsequently.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Congratulations to Team Union for the stable result.
Thank you, Choksi.
First question is credit visibility in terms of sanction pipeline, which is unavailed, and what kind of visibilities for the growth in the second half, specifically in view of the guidance which you've given to the previous question.
Okay, we had given a guidance of 11 to 13%. We have got a healthy pipeline actually. If you see our sanctions, you know, in this quarter, we have got about 76,000 crores of sanctions for the current quarter for this one. And out of this, 36,000 crores is pending for disbursement. So, you know, we have got a healthy pipeline also. And we hope that, you know, if the capex cycle, you know, comes back, we will be able to disperse much faster and whatever the sanction limits that we have got, that also, you know, is quickly dispersed.
Ma'am, the visibility is more coming from private sector or public sector?
It's more on the, you know, public sector. We have roads and some of the private sectors also in the area of real estate, telecom, iron and steel. Sunrise sectors like the renewable energy, semiconductors, data centers, tourism. There are many areas that we have given. Ports are there. So many areas we have given our sanctions.
Ma'am, how's the visibility in the festive season where retail loans are concerned, specifically car loans, housing loans, with the environment being so competitive and rates being offered by majority banks are pretty low? So how is the visibility there?
In retail loans, we have grown last quarter in the range of 5.88%.
Sukhji, actually, we have done very well in the last quarter in the sector of retail loans. Home loans and the vehicle loans, we saw about close to about 15% growth and a very good growth in our education loan sector also. Festive seasons are usually the time when, you know, retail registers a higher growth, and we hopefully want to see a better growth in our vehicle loan sector, home loan sector in this quarter also.
Ma'am, my next question is more pertaining to treasury, so you can answer or Mr. Bhatt can answer.
Yeah, Mr. Bhatt is there to answer.
So, ma'am, the world expects little volatility with U.S. presidential election. RBI governor has made very specific that early rate cut is not required, but it seems that 2025 rate cut is certain, maybe in the first quarter or later part. In view of the volatility which is there in the money market led by treasury and exchanges both, how are we garnering to position ourselves by encashing sufficient treasury and converting into corporate loans or retail loans where the arbitrage is visible at 1.7 to 3% depending what loans are you sanctioning?
As far as volatility is concerned, yes. After the governor statement and U.S. elections outcome, there will be clarity on the volatility. Till that time, expectation of the futuristic things happening, market will position themselves in the exchange market. But as far as India is concerned, RBI is quite visible to have a stability in the exchange rate. In spite of so much volatility in the global exchange rate, but Indian rupee is very stable, defensive at 84 to 84 10 level. That indicates a clear-cut direction from the Reserve Bank that they want to stabilize the rupee. Once the rupee stability happens, almost all other factors like liquidity, interest rate, and various other factors, in spite of the geopolitical conditions and crude oil prices uptick and global imbalances, still Indian conditions are far favorable. We as a treasury along with the relationship team coordinate with the various corporates to encourage the benefit of getting the more and more business opportunity in respect of the foreign exchange, interest rate products and other sectors, so that we can definitely margin ourselves and generate additional fee income by way of exchanging the information and timely interaction with them and giving the market outlook to generate additional business as well as overall growth in both treasury, credit and
whatever the aspect available from the segment.
So is the foreign exchange income, FX arbitrage income, which was very sustainable compared to other banks, likely to be visible in the second half?
Yeah, because this depends on the liquidity condition. We are having comfortable liquidity and there is a good arbitrage opportunity available because expectation of the interest rate cut in the US by 200 basis point in the next 1 year. So there is a spike in the premium market that will be able to generate decent arbitrage as and when the liquidity available into the system.
Best wishes for festive season and the year to come for Union Bank.
Yes.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Just before that, you know, there was a question from Ajmera ji on that, on the SR in note number 15. So the amount is not material, it's only 2 crores. So, you know, that covers that question as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining on the call. As we have discussed during the call that the bank's performance in the Q2 has been in line with the guidance. And there were certain developments during the quarter in terms of the slippages of one large account, which also we had guided actually in the con call of the first quarter. Other than that, everything has been in line. Also that some of the initiatives that bank has taken during the current year, particularly in terms of CASA mobilization, and which you have spoken earlier also, hopefully in the second half of the year we should see good outcome out of that, as well as the some of the steps that we have taken for MSME loan growth, both in terms of the product and the reach out through specific branches. I think that should also see the positive outcome. And thirdly, on the digital area also, we have taken several initiatives. We have been talking about that. Hopefully in the second half that we are in, we'll see some of these getting rolled out for our customers and creating value for the bank. So thank you once again for joining and for your feedback.
Thank you, everyone.
On behalf of Union Bank of India, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.